Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter in at all. There is a way in which every one of us has to become like a child in order to be saved. We have to be born again and become a baby little Christian to make it into heaven. And then we take the milk and the meat of God's word and we grow and we mature.
We all start out like a child in the kingdom of God. Hopefully, we feed on God's word, we pray, we learn, we discern, and we grow daily closer and closer to Jesus and more mature spiritually. With more on why it's good to be childish for a time in the kingdom of God, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Luke 18, 15 through 17.
You can open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to be covering just a few short verses today as we are making our way line by line, verse by verse through the book of Luke. I'm really excited about where we are now. In the next chapter, Jesus enters into Jerusalem in the triumphant entry. We are going to take the last part of the life of Jesus and we are going to dive in. I want it to be like a seminary class, really. I want to dive in and cover everything that is there, talk about what theologies and philosophies for and what comes out of it, what some people believe and don't believe. So I'm really excited about being able to take this portion, the last week of the life of Jesus, and really dive into it. So let's pray and let's get after it. Father, thank you so much for the provisions you provided for us as a church. Thank you that you've given us your word and is rich and powerful and deep and profound. And I believe that there's something here for those who are here. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I changed the title of this message four times. The first title was, Why Did Jesus Say, Be Like a Child? That was the first one. The second one was, Children and the Kingdom of God. The third one was the age of accountability. The fourth and final one is all children go to heaven. Little play on all dogs go to heaven. All children go to, I don't know about dogs, but all children go to heaven. And I want to make that point to you today through the scriptures that God cares deeply about children. God cares deeply about our children that are in our Sunday school now. God cares deeply about the children of atheists that are at home today. He loves them. He cares for them. The Bible tells us the special care that God has for kids, and I want to be able to reveal that to you today. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to first of all read our text so you know what we're talking about. Then I want to look at a couple of things Jesus said about children so you can get his heart. Then I want to talk about a few things the Bible says about kids. And then I want to make the case that all children, including miscarried, aborted, and children around the world, are in heaven. And I want to do that biblically. And I'm not the only one who believes this. This is not an aberrant teaching in Christianity. John MacArthur believes it. Many others do. John Calvin believed it. Many others in history believed it as well. Just from a philosophical argument, can you imagine being a three-year-old born in a Hindu family and you don't know your right hand from your left? You don't know right and wrong. You have never rebelled against God. And you die and you wake up in hell and wonder what is going on. So just from that's a philosophical argument. I've got biblical arguments to actually make this case for you today. So here's our text. Let me read it through without comment, which is very hard for me to do. But let me do it, and then we're going to come back and get what Jesus says and then what the Bible says, then make that case. It says, and they were bringing their babies to him so that he would touch them. Let me make a couple comments. How much do you love your children? Isn't it just amazing? You know, my wife, we had special relationship, but when I held my firstborn daughter in my hands and I looked into her big brown eyes and she was screaming at the top of her lungs. There was a new love in my life immediately. And we want to bring them to Jesus just like these people did. The they here is in the masculine. but in Greek, the they is always in the masculine. So when you say they were in a crowd, there were men and women in the crowd, but it's always in the masculine. So this is not just men bringing babies. It says, but when the disciples saw it, they began to rebuke them. So they were like, don't bother Jesus with your babies. And Jesus called to them saying, permit the children to come unto me. And in one of the other gospels, he's angry. It says he became angry. And the word in, there's two words in the Greek, mega angry is what he says. He became angry. He became mega angry. He was like, don't stop the children from coming to me, because he cares so much about these kids. And do not hinder them from the kingdom, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, we're going to talk about that at the end, but that phrase, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Then he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter in at all. There is a way in which every one of us has to become like a child in order to be saved. We have to be born again and become a baby little Christian to make it into heaven. And then we take the milk and the meat of God's word and we grow and we mature. And we're going to talk about that briefly at the end of the study. So let's come back now and look at what Jesus has to say about children. And I'm going to warn you, this is going to get heavy, all right? Because Jesus cares deeply about you care deeply about children, your children especially. I don't know if you care so much about your neighbor's children, but yours you do. Jesus cares deeply about all kids. The first thing is in Matthew 10:18, Jesus said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. He said, don't despise one of these children. He's arguing that children, he's stating, and I'm arguing, that children have guardian angels, that the principle of a guardian angel is real and is true. I think we probably wouldn't have survived if that wasn't the case. I think how close I came to death when I was a kid so many times, and incredibly stupidly, by the way. I could share some with you, but I won't, because then you would know how stupid I am. In Matthew 18:1-7, Jesus says this about children. In one place, he talks about children, small kids. In another place, he says something similar, but he talks about new believers, baby Christians. So this will apply to both of them eventually. So he says in Matthew 18:1-6, Jesus said, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So they're concerned about who's the greatest, me? That's kind of what they're doing with Jesus. Then Jesus called a little child to him and sat him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, then you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is a little child like? They have a lot of trust in their parents. They stay close to their parents. I think of little children with their arms wrapped around their mother when they're in an insecure situation, around their mother's leg. The mother's trying to walk a little bit. Okay, come on, it's okay. You're all right. Children have humility. Children believe in God. When you start talking to children about God, small children, and you ask a five, six, seven-year-old, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? The vast majority of them say yes. And that's why the Old Testament said, talk to your children on the road. Talk to them at your meals. Talk to them about God when you get up in the morning. Talk to them when you go to bed at night. And I think that is applicable today. You got little children. You got little grandchildren. Talk to them about God. Ask them if they want to receive Christ. And that's what we have to become like in order to be saved. They are more innocent. I'm not going to say they're completely innocent, because we know that children sin, but they don't know their right hand from their left, and we're going to see that God doesn't apply that guilt to them. They are innocent when it comes to guilt, even though they've sinned, because they don't know what they're doing. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Children know they need help. They easily and freely show love. They crawl up on our laps. They look into our faces. Once you bond with a child, at first when a new child meets you, they'll lean towards mom and dad and look at you out of the side of their eyes. Like, I don't know about you, but once you bond with them, they will so easily crawl up on your lap and just give you a hug. They are eager to learn and they are honest. They'll brutally tell someone whatever, you know, and the mother's like covering up the mouth. Don't say that about that person. So all of these things are ways in which Jesus meant that we should become like children. But now listen to what he goes on to say. And here's where it's going to get heavy. He says, unless you're converted, become like a child, you are by no means enter the kingdom of God. And whoever receives one of these little children receives me. So any ministry you do towards children, you receive Christ. You're doing the work for Christ when you are ministering to children. He wants to encourage us to take care of kids. And then he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus is not saying, if you are hurting a child, this is what's going to happen to you. He says it would be better for you right now to go out into a lake, tie a rope around your neck, take a millstone and throw it over and drown yourself than to hurt a child. Jesus cares about children, and if you are abusing a child, then I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus said, there's a hot place in hell for you. All sins are not the same. All sins can condemn you, but that's not the same thing as all sins being the same. There are some that are worse. I grew up with an abusive father. I don't say I grew up in an abusive family because my mom was not abusive. My mother stood between me and my father when my dad was coming after me. And I remember several times diving behind my mom and dodging my father while my mom was saying, no, you are not doing this. And she stood in the way. And other times in which my father abused me. He abused me physically, by the way, physically. He abused me so severely that when he died of Lou Gehrig's disease when I was 13. He was 38 years old, which is incredibly young. My mom came through the door and I knew by the tone of everything that he had died. And in my mind, I said, good. Good riddance, good. What a horrible thing, place for a 13-year-old to be. I also want to tell you that by the time I turned 18, when I was going through it, I didn't know it was wrong. You're a kid and things get normalized to you. And I thought that this is just what life was. I thought it was what everybody was going through. When I got to be 18 years old, it dawned on me, you don't treat kids that way. My dad, and this is what I said in my mind, my dad was a jerk. Now, I have hope that my father is in heaven. My father was a Methodist. When he had Lou Gehrig's disease, I remember walking by his room and seeing him staring up to heaven, and I got to think that he was making his peace with God, and I hope so, and I hope I see him there. I have forgiven him. I want to embrace him. I want to let him know I love him, and I want to let him know that I've forgiven him. However, if you're abusing a child today, physically, if you're just a bully in your home, if you are sexually abusing a child, then Jesus said it's better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you were cast into the sea. I told you it's going to get heavy. And this is really important for us to understand. In the same context, talking about children, Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He wasn't saying to cut your hand off. He was saying, do radical things to make this stop. Sometimes behavioral issues, you have to do radical things in order for it to be able to stop. You've got to get some accountability in order for it to be able to stop. And when I grew up and I knew my dad was a jerk, whatever you're doing to your kid, whatever way you're abusing them, they're gonna grow up and know you did it. Some of them are gonna hate your guts, never wanna see you and never wanna talk to you, and they're gonna know what kind of a person you are that no one else knows. And maybe they'll become a pastor and tell people someday. Right? So there is such a warning here that you would stop, because children are truly precious and they're precious in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the Bible also says some things about kids that are really interesting. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they will go, and when they are old, they won't depart. This is Proverbs 22:6. They are little bitty sponges right now, and when you talk to them about God, they receive it and they accept it. They'll even receive Christ into their life, the vast majority of them. I don't ever have the experience of asking a 5 or a 6-year-old if they would like to receive Jesus when they said no. I explained God created the world and God loves you and you can receive him. You can walk with him now. And they say, yes, I want him in my life. So pour into them. Ask them about these things. Pour into them about Jesus. Learn more about him and love them more. And when they get their wings, see, God's made it so that they will push against us, because if they didn't push against us, they'd never leave our homes. Some of you guys still have your 45-year-olds at home and you're like, where were their wings? I want them to go. They aren't leaving. And there comes a time when our kids try to find out who they are. And a lot of times they'll try to be the opposite of what we are. And you may have a child that is gone wayward now. And we have this promise. Now, some say this is a promise. Some say it's a proverb. The difference would be a promise you could stand on and say, God, you said, train a child in the way of the Lord, and when they are old, they won't depart. And I believe you. And my child who is wayward right now is going to come back to you. The other says it's a proverb, and proverb is like wisdom, and it happens most of the time. If you train them in the way of the Lord, the majority of them are going to come back. Now, which one's true? I don't know, but I'll tell you the one I stand on is the promise. I stand on the promise. I trained my children in the ways of the Lord, and even though they may walk away, I trust that God will save them, that God will be honorable to what he's done. Now, what do you say? Well, I didn't train them in the way of the Lord. I didn't know Christ. I didn't train them in the way of the Lord. Well, God still cares about your kids because God loves you, and begin to pray for your kids that God would move in their lives and bring them back. Children are extremely teachable. When they get to that age where they're not, now I want to just talk to you kids who are maybe 11, 12, 13 years old. You're beginning to push back on the parents. You're starting to think they don't know what's going on in the world. It's funny, when I got to be 16, 17, and I learned what was really going on in the world, and I thought my mom didn't know. I was like, my mom doesn't know what's going on out here. And what I found out later on is my mom thought my son still doesn't know what's going on out here. We both knew. So that's happening. So the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. We know the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And this means when you're a child, you listen to them. When you are an adult, you honor them. A parent may ask you to do something. When you're an adult, you are not obligated to do it, but you are obligated to honor them. And there's a promise. It will go well with you during your life. That's a great promise. And man, when I talk to teens, I remind them of that promise. I know a lot of you guys have a lot of problems with your parents now, but God promised you a successful future if you will honor your parents. Doesn't mean they're always right. Doesn't mean you're not going to want to go a different direction than they want to go, but you honor them because there's a promise with it. The Bible gives direction to us dads. Us dads can be a little hard with our kids. Us dads can be like, straighten up, fly right, young man. Don't make me come over there. Right? And I could keep going, little statements. So the Bible says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says in Galatians 6 that if someone is in sin, that's often what we're dealing with, to go to them in gentleness. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. God cared about the children of the Ninevites. The Ninevites were not Hebrews. If I remember right, they're Assyrians. And Nineveh was a huge city. We have the ruins of Nineveh in Iraq today. It was on the Euphrates River. And Jonah is called to Nineveh because God was going to wipe them out. God judges nations and God's like, they're done. And I'm going to take them out unless they repent. So you, Jonah, go there. Jonah hated them. He was prejudiced. And he said, I'm not going. He went the other way. Fish swallows him up. 3 days later, pukes him up on the shore. Jonah stands up. He's got bleached skin because of the acids in the fish's stomach. His hair is probably almost all gone. He's patchy clothes, patchy color skin. And he walks up to people and says, this is his message. He's not a very good prophet. Repent, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days. Not even if you don't repent, you're not going to. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And then they repent, the whole city of Nineveh. And I like the comedian who says, somebody walks up to you with their clothes eaten by the acids and a fish's stomach, their skin all weird, their hair all weird, and says, do you repent? What are you going to do? Repent. I'd repent. Somebody walks up to me like that. So they repent. And Jonah gets mad. He goes up on a hill and he pouts. And God says, I'm paraphrasing this whole story of Jonah, by the way. God says to Jonah, what's wrong with you? I knew you were good. I knew you'd forgive him. I knew you were gracious. I knew you were great. This is in the Old Testament where people always say the Old Testament God is a mean God. Jonah was like, I knew these things about you and I knew you'd forgive him and I didn't want that to happen. Here's God's response. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and left? Who cannot discern between their right hand and left? Children. We could also say mentally handicapped, a certain amount. He says, and much livestock. So God not only cared about the children, but God cared about the livestock. These are the children of the Ninevites. They don't serve God. They serve pagan gods. Tell me that these Ninevites who repent aren't in heaven. Tell me these children aren't in heaven. Some people say, well, no, if a child of a Hindu dies, they go to hell. Somebody else said, if a child of a Hindu dies, they are annihilated. God just annihilates them. Really? God says, of all people, that he put eternity in their hearts. Every person on the face of this earth was created in the image of God. God is eternal. And that's why hell is eternal. Now, I have a lot of problems with the way people teach hell, but that man is eternal is not one of them. Man is indeed eternal. Now, some will be beaten with few stripes and some will be beaten with many, and that's part what I'm going to deal with what what hell is really like. But there is no doubt that all these children are all over the world are eternal. If you had a miscarriage, and miscarriages are so brutal, aren't they? If you've had a miscarriage, you found out you're pregnant, and then you miscarriage that baby. I believe the Bible teaches that baby was created in the image of God. You'll see that baby again in heaven. You had an abortion, and I know how hard that is for you. You'll see that baby again in heaven. I had a gal tell me last night that her husband was pressuring her to get an abortion, and she went to go get it, but she had a plan that she was going to go in and at the last minute say, I can't do this, and then come out and tell her husband, I just wasn't able to do it. But one of the first thing they did was inject her with a drug that pretty much put her out, and she never had the chance, and she woke up and the baby had been aborted. And she just feels so guilty. And she said, I know I'm forgiven. I said, good, because you are. But every aborted baby is in the presence of God. The Romans had a practice where they would take children that were born, a lot of temple prostitution in the Roman world. And under these temples, they found graveyards of abandoned babies. They would just lay babies out and die to exposure. Instead of abortion, the woman would have the baby and they would lay the baby out and it would die. All of those babies, I believe, are in heaven. But God cared about those children of Nineveh.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.